This is CRNH on KXL. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the show. This hour of the program is presented by the Concord Food Co-op in a segment of the show brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. That's who my family trusts to call for all our plumbing, air conditioning, and electrical needs. I encourage you to experience the Paradigm Ship by checking out ParadigmPH.com. Join us right now on the program, my friend Steve Labby. He is the owner of Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Steve, how are you?
Doing fantastic, Chris.
Good. Appreciate you joining us for the show here on this Wednesday in the great state of New Hampshire. Temperatures getting back to normal today, what we expect to this time of year, and I'm looking forward to getting some skiing in over the next couple of days as the mountains start to open up across the great state of New Hampshire. But before that, we had some unseasonably warm temperatures, which allowed for some fishing. And Steve and I are different types of fishermen. So Steve is a real fisherman, and I am, pun intended, and I am not. As my oldest son Liam said, that dad caught a fish, now he thinks he's a fisherman. This after him explaining one of our fishing trips as being like Charlie Brown trying to fly a kite. Yep. And so I had another one of those types of fishing trips, this time with my younger son, Brennan, where yep. we were determined to catch some striped bass. We were going to catch the bass, then we were going to cook the bass. It was a great plan. And, you know, I'm not necessarily somebody that, you know, prepares all that well prior to going. I'm like a get everything in the car and go type of person.
Yeah.
So we arrive at the fishing location. And we walk to our spot. We have all the things we need, and the fishing rod won't work. It will not. It will not reel in. It will not go out. And my ability to fix this is very, very, very minimal.
Right.
And so I work my way through it. And I determined very quickly that this is not going to work. And Brennan was all right with it because he wasn't that keen on fishing to begin with. So we went back to the bait and tackle shop, and we purchased a bass, and then we cooked said bass. And that was my fishing trip, and I'm sure yours was slightly different.
Well, you know, you touched upon some different things, you know, like having equipment. I'm driving down the road one time, and this was only, I don't know, within the month. And I was in such a rush to go fishing, and I'm doing the mental checklist in my head while I'm driving, right, where you should be actually doing that in your driveway. And I'm like, I never put the electric trolling motor in. Oh, my goodness. I swing it around. I turn around. I'm like, I can't believe I forgot the motor, the one thing I need, right? So it is super funny about, you know, not having the proper equipment or when something breaks. And I have this other pole too. You're gonna laugh at this because you've put me on a pretty high pedestal, but also I can be a bit of a bottom feeder too. Okay,
yeah.
Now I'll explain why. There were two fishing rods and reels that were on the spot where it's like all free at this campground that we drive by, and I ended up getting both of them. I'm like, hey, a little kid or somebody I might be teaching, I could give them this fishing rod. They're free. Grab them. Why? Why see them go to waste?
I am a big sucker for those roadside free attractions as well. Like it sits there and it's just that sign that says free, and you're like all these like rotting chairs are sitting out there, air conditioners, and you're like one of these has to work. Like it's free. I have to give it a shot here, and I end up picking these things up. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! So I end up putting two rods became one because one was the tip was broken on the rod actually, and one the reel didn't work, but I married both of them together. So here's the funny part. So my dad, he really likes the power bait fish, and you know, I'm more, you know, fly fishing and trolling and all this stuff, but I know how to power bait, and it is fun. So we throw out the anchor, and I pull out this I called it the Pogus Bait Special because it was I didn't even change the line on this, Chris. This is the original line, like Zebco reel, like, I mean, Shakespeare pole. I mean, it's funny. And I end up catching the first fish, a big whopper. And my dad looks at me, I go, Pogus Bait Special, Dad, you got to have the right rod reel. And then I caught another one, and it was just so funny. I'm like, I'm on this antiquated, like, you know, yard sale, backyard, free pole catching beautiful rainbows. I mean, this thing was like almost 20 inches. It was great.
Yeah, as you're talking about some of the stories and forgetting things in the car, you know, generally, like, I get really excited to go skiing in the morning. And when you're skiing with your kids, I mean, you just have so many things. Not as much as fishing, but the fishing stuff kind of stays in the same spot. And skiing, you know, you have to find all the gloves and the face masks the hand warmer and all their equipment and all that. So we're going to Canon. And I've got all their crap. All of it is in the car. We're all set. I got everything. And, like, the kids' like only responsibility, and you got to have their snow pants, their boots. You got to walk in, got to walk out. Like, it is a huge pain. And I've talked like, trying to teach your kids to ski. Like, that's the worst. But bringing all the stuff is just as bad. And so we get there, and Brennan has no winter coat. He has no winter coat. It is like 2 degrees out. And I'm like, what are we going to do? Like, how could you forget your winter coat? Like, I had 1,000 responsibilities. You had one. And that was to bring your winter coat. And you didn't do it. Like, how has that happened? And so we get there. And thankfully, I knew somebody there, and they were able to get him a coat at Canon that was like from the lost and found. Of course, in COVID times, that probably would not work out. But in previous times, that was fine. And he was able to get that coat. But that there's always like something that is missing, though. And that story just made me think, because you're in the car and you're like, you're going through that. You have an hour to go through the checklist of all the different things that you may have forgotten, and you're like, you know, throwing them back there to them, like, do you guys have your goggles? You guys have your hats? And they're like, yeah, we have it. And you never think, like, would you have your winter coat? It's sometimes the most obvious things that are missing.
Yeah. So I got that top just a smidge, because when the kids were little, we went to the executive swimming, and we get there, and I don't know why, but I can't find my bathing suit. Nowhere. And the kids are like itching to swim. They want to swim. They got to swim. And daddy's got to be there with swimming, because they were younger at the time. So I had someone watch, you know, that was a friend at the club. And I'm like, I got to run up into the, you know, the little sporting goods store that they have there and see if I can just score a quick bathing suit. So, you know, the only thing I could find were swimming type bathing suits, which are Speedos.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So can you picture this kid, the Speedo? Well, all of a sudden, I'm like, well, I got to do this. This is for the kids. Like, I gotta get this done. So I put the Speedo on. I walk it out, and there's the pool, and there's the hot tub. And then Kayla rips out this huge, huge, oh, my God, there's my dad in a Speedo. Oh, it was a very, very liberating moment. Oh my god! That was the best story ever. And I'm just like, I got into the hot tub and I kind of had my head down, like, I'm not really here. All eyes on me, baby.
That's awesome. That is the best story right there. Yeah,
it's, sorry, I had to top your story.
You did. You totally topped my story. I have never had to wear a Speedo in circumstances that I didn't anticipate it taking place. In fact, I have never had to wear a Speedo, period. But that is a phenomenal story. Well, that is Steve Labby. He's the owner of Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electrical, joining us here on CRNH on KXL. I am Chris Ryan. This hour of the show is presented by the Concord Food Co-op, and this segment of the program brought to you by Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical. Let's talk shop a little bit before we bid you adieu here on the program today. Yeah. And you know, we talked a little bit to the last time you were on about some of the adaptations taking place as a result of increased cases of COVID-19 here in New Hampshire. You've gone remote in terms of your office. What are your feelings and what are you seeing in regards to work? I mean, the economy is still flowing here in the Granite State. Businesses are remaining open, but figuring out how to operate. Has the workflow remained the same for you?
Yeah, I mean, we're still holding our own now, which is good. So it's not out as far as it was out. But I mean, we're still week, 2 weeks out all day long on our installs. So you know, that's a good thing. And the phone's ringing, and you know, we've been here a while, and I'm getting a lot of calls from people that I've known for a long time, and I'm like, I wonder who does their plumbing. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wow, I haven't been doing their plumbing for years. Like, so I think I was in, like, number two position for work and with people, and it's not like they didn't like me or anything. It's just that, you know, they had a number one plumber or heating guy or air conditioning specialist, and, you know, and then, I don't know, for some reason, there's some people that are definitely not getting service. So, you know, I have been getting a lot more calls from a lot of older friends, a lot of older acquaintances, and it's been really nice. I like it.
How do you feel when you find out that you're number two instead of number one in their hearts in regards to plumbing? I mean, you got to be a little competitive about that, no?
But you got to be a realist. You know, I mean,
it's
that
true.
Guy could find
it's
somebody
tough,
on
though.
The side.
But Steve, it's tough. I mean, there's always the way you think about things. There's the rational side, and then there's the emotional side. The rational side says, "Well, yeah, it makes sense. You know, that I can work through this." Then the emotional side is like, "I'm the best, man. Why am I not your guy?"
You switched it up, and we'll go back to fishing because fishing rocks. It's the best conversation ever. I fish. I get a couple things at Walmart. I get a couple things at Bass Pro Shop. You know what I mean? You can't always afford to go to Bass Pro Shop for everything. They probably can't always afford to go to Paradigm. I mean, I'm not the cheapest game in town, but we're really good and we're quality and all that stuff. And sometimes people try to find that balancing point, which is fine, you know? I mean, it's a pivot point. And I do it, you do it, we all do it. It's a reality. And you have to not take it personal and understand that, you know, as long as they're getting service, and that's the thing that I like is, because I have so many co-competitors and we share a lot of work, you know, you have to have the right mindset. And the right mindset is that there's plenty to go around. There's an abundance of work. And when you have that abundance mentality, you don't worry about, you know, that you haven't been doing plumbing. Guess what? I haven't needed it. I've been busy enough, Chris.
Yeah, I think you make a number of really good points there. The first one I want to touch upon is having that mindset of, you know, not being upset with people for going in a different direction is really important, and it's going to help you gain their business down the road. And that's something that I needed to learn as a younger business person, where like you feel like the person should be doing business with you. Why would they do it with somebody else? And there's that little thing that eats at you about that competitive nature. And you know, you can get upset about that. But if you approach it from a more holistic standpoint of, okay, that's their choice, and let me get to the next person, and I'll you know, use this as motivation, that is a really good mindset. The other piece is the, you know, the large box stores and the huge Amazons and Walmarts of the world versus local. And, you know, I think it's important the way that you described it, as we all go to, you know, come to that point where, you know, we use the cheaper option. And we may not feel good about it all the time, but at times it's the only place that has something that's available. But we have to be cognizant of local and the importance of local, but not be like, it's kind of like the Nancy Reagan Say No to Drugs campaign, where it's like, it's something that's unrealistic. You can't just say no to Walmart. You can't just say no to big box stores. It's difficult, and not everybody can afford to do that. And certainly some people can, but most people can't. So you can't shame people for choosing the less expensive option when it is available to them, but you want to instill the importance of local via education, and you know what you do via education, as opposed to shaming people for choosing an option that may only be available to them because of their means at that point.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It's interesting, you know, but you're going to get further with collaboration, and they've done studies where, when they've had people who collaborate and are competitive, that's a double winner. Sometimes people wouldn't think that, but really competitive people that collaborate go further in life. And I think that that's part of my mindset with the whole plumbing, heating, air conditioning. You know, I would love to collaborate. And you're always going to get a client, too, that doesn't have your same mindset, so you're going to not see eye to eye. You know, I told you that story of the guy that I sent two people. One was a trainer to being trained, and one's the trainer. And, you know, they did a cleaning service. It was 6 hours. I charged them for two. And he was like, you know, I don't feel I was taken, I was treated properly. And I'm like, how? And he's like, well, there was someone here training, and the trainer seemed like he knew more than the person training him, and all, and or the trainee. And I just said to him, I go, but when it all came down to it, you had 6 man hours of someone on your job site, and we only charged you for 2. I mean, I think that was super fair. And so you have to work your way through these conversations with people. And later, after I explained everything, he knew. I think my shortcoming was that maybe I should have said, hey, guess what? He's going to be coming with a trainer. Are you okay with that?
Right.
You know, we'll take a little bit longer. So I learned a lesson as well as the person. But remember, there's always somebody that's going to be learning or training. And we're not teaching, you know, we have to teach in the field, right?
Yeah.
And that is something that we'll absorb and other companies absorb on a regular basis. Training is very, very crucial. So it's a lot of fun. And as you and I both are very competitive spirits, you know, we have to keep our competitive juices down a bit at that point.
Yeah, that's true. So let's go inside the trade here before we have to let you go and talk a little about the hot water heaters and what's going on with them this time of year.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of different water heaters that are coming on the market. You know, you have the on-demand water heaters, and you've got the regular power vented water heater to the direct vent to the natural draft. But I had a friend call me. They're selling their house, and they their inspector caught them that they had no sediment traps or drip legs, as they're called. And what it is that's the little T right at the gas valve, and there's like a 4 to 6 inch nipple with a cap on it. And what they were meant to do is, if they were ever working on the gas lines, the sediment would go in there. Also, too, in a liquid petroleum type installation, you sometimes will get condensation and water. And I tell you, I couldn't believe this. I had never seen this before. I changed out a water heater, and I took the gas apart, and I'm taking the drip leg apart, which isn't common. We don't normally take that apart all the time if the union's in the right place, but I did on this particular case, and I couldn't believe that the, you know, the 4-inch drip leg was 100% filled with water, and I'd never seen that in my 36 years, which was, so they do serve a purpose, but the reason I was talking about it is today, it was interesting that one of my friends who's selling her home in New Jersey called me up and said, hey, what's a drip leg or sediment trap? Like, we got popped on that. Like, what's up with that? So I just thought if people that are listening don't know what that they are, that we could explain it a little. That's all.
Well, that's awesome. Always enjoy going inside the trade with you. Steve, appreciate you joining us for the show.
Okay, thanks so much, Chris. Take care.
That is Steve Labbe. He is the owner of Paradigm Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electrical, joining us here on CRNH this hour, presented by the Concord Food Co-op.